set us at?
On VBS task group.
VBS task group.
August.
That's the second one.
So I'm on VBS. I'm put this stuff down to answer Gary's request for info.
See, Trevor.
Which is really just what we'd like to do in that first paragraph, you know, the restrictions we have on cranes and what we can accomplish with the gantry, and then the wording that we have in the FPP now and what we may or may not want to change. I don't know that we can change a whole lot, truthfully, given the restrictions, with the exception of maybe screen reinstallation criteria, which I think was a concern for Gary, at least. Well, probably for everybody, that we don't have a good means to have a surrogate for screens, for putting STSs back in if we have to pull them beyond dipping them back in and seeing what happens in a day. So I didn't know what all we wanted to address, or I think that's really, unless people wanted to talk about the details of cleaning criteria, I think that's the only force that we change. And that's what we have right now is put in, you know, I stuck this thing in here, and I think that was probably what Gary was referencing, you know, with flows dropping below 300K and water clarity of a certain amount to initiate the reinstallation process. But I don't know what else to use. But, you know, we've used fishing to trash racks in the past, and that's not perfect, but there isn't a perfect surrogate, you know, to let us know it's time to put them back in. So it's kind of a trial and error, unfortunately. But
well, I guess my main concern, I'm trying to catch up with this one.
Where did the 300 come from?
Was
out of.
300 what?
300 KCFS. What's the top of 300 and what clarity is 4 inches or greater?
Because the first year that we pulled screens 300K, we were still able to maintain criteria, but pretty much after that, we were not.
And then does kind of hold true. I mean, it's. Like last year, I talked to Tim about that, and we can see that every year. That's where Schwartz started talking about it again this year, you know. But the fact of the matter is, you can go up over it and still do it if everything else goes right. It just depends. That was just sort of a starting point.
It'll be sweet when he wants to pull them and there's 48 TRDs in the way.
Yeah, that'd be nice, huh?
Yep. You always get in the way of a turd.
Yep.
You can't get the acronym approved by Toyota.
That's a good point. But I'm happy to do, you know, a change form to change us to anything. I just don't know what's better.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like this year, we were well over 300. We kept the screens the whole time.
I know. So that's the thing.
Crap.
So, you know, it just depends on the debris load.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Is, I mean,
you know, some years it's going to be worse if it's been a long time since you had a flow line.
Yeah,
I know. Exactly. Yeah.
That's why I just stuck it in there. Here's a starting
point. No, it says
if they are cold.
And see what happens in 24 hours, and then maybe we'll pull them right back out.
Sooner. I mean, I don't know if I want to time it. Oh, the flows are 303.
And we could pull them if the debris was so high to begin with.
There's certainly
no. Yes and no.
It might take you a week to put them back in. What's your return time?
Yeah,
I guess what I was trying to get at here, well, part of it was the reinstallation, but the other part of it was what can we do to avoid having these screens out for two or three, or well, a month or so, 2 months at a time.
I think that's it, because before we were using fishing and trash rack drawdown, and that's not a great. I mean, we were using everything, but it was all sort of anecdotal. We were looking at how often we were having to
put it in,
but nothing really compares, you know, to VBS drawdown. Fishing to the closest, geographically and in size, but they're not nearly the same.
No, they're not.
No, they have horrible drawdown.
They do. They can have 15 feet of drawdown.
Yeah, I'm like, what does that mean? I don't know.
I just haven't thought about this enough.
And I didn't have anything really to present other than so folks would know here's the limitations.
Yeah, this is more of what I'm trying to think a little more out of the box as to what can we do. I mean, what is it going to take to keep those screens clean during the season with a lot of debris in the river?
I think the only thing we can do different is have two crews working from each end of the
powerhouse. Is there a mechanical thing? Do we have, can we come up with a different kind of screen cleaners? Is there a better way to address debris in the sewer bay? Is there a better way? Two cranes, three cranes, five cranes, 25 cranes? Would there be an actual structure that we put on the gate well that is irrespective of wind that pulls these things up and down every 2 hours?
Yeah, no.
I mean, is there any other way that we could do this?
Well,
other than the way we're doing it now, that would be better. Forget the money.
Just to clear.
Just
ideas.
Ideas.
Backside.
An automatic cleaner would be awesome.
Right.
In a way.
Yeah, is it possible? Is there anything that we can do?
Then you get into the space line.
Yeah, I mean, you're into the
is there a rotating cleaner you could move on a crane?
From 2002.
Oh, what?
Like a rotating brush or some other device you could stick down there.
So, yeah, there's two or three ideas out there.
I see our company cover something like that.
And, you know, you could still
need the crane to move over there. Right, but if...
That was the thing that you have or somebody, you know, actually...
Well, see, that's the thing. And when you go back to the debris handling study...
Yeah, I mean, what they all they do now is they pull the whole thing.
And then trying to figure out you know, what to do, and do you reopen that? Or is saying, well, no, it's an ops problem. Because we already went to this debris handling study, and the preferred alternative was the rotational screen.
The brush or what we do now.
Right. The chief maintenance back
then. Yeah, the same as what we do now.
And a couple of people back at that time.
And then everybody
pushed hard to do the manual, to go with the manual system rather than the now there's a lot of people in those positions.
So that's why I say if you lower something, your wind is in the problem.
And since then, we've had...
quick enough, you're saving your time by pulling them.
We're in this high flow pattern.
So it's a lot worse. No, the problem is, though, unless you... The problem is, you have to go get that debris out. Otherwise, you're just recycling that thing. So,
what do you do now?
Yeah.
They did acknowledge that there'd be insulation when they made their estimates.
I mean, if you pull the backer screen out...
Screens,
so the question is, how do you...
Once per week through the season...
Because you still use screens out of a four-bay walking therapy.
They wait their attention. They can't do that
now. So that's all I'm saying is, if the brush, if all it does is... jam it in the screen, it doesn't really remove it, or just lift it off, or push it through,
you know, normal fluctuation. And now that we've got a different, you know, now that we've got other criteria that we can work with, you know, the two crane idea, do we try that before we go into reopening a debris handling study, getting a PDP on it and all that?
Yeah, I guess I just don't see it as being acceptable to pull the screen. Unless we make a decision that we don't need screens at that project in the first place, which is something we could do too, but and that's worth its own discussion, I think. But if we think that that bypass system that we spent all that money on is necessary and the screens are necessary, pulling them in May is really not a good idea in the first part of June. And just, you know, right through every other year or whatever we've been doing here.
So. Ed and I kind of talked about something like, once if you came up with an idea like having a DBS, you had to split like in maybe two or three sections where you could actually turn the panels so they flip the other way so they self-wash.
You don't have the room. Yeah.
If you broke it into three sections, though, you might...
Louvers, basically, you're talking about like a biker style.
But I was thinking do something more like that would swing this way.
Maybe more than
like
three.
Six panels.
But it's not going to get you anything other than what you're doing now.
But it might do is he's saying the force of the water would clean it off if you turn around back.
You turn it.
Slot and turn.
You turn it the other way, so then at the back when
it's
you
like
a
rotating
through,
drum, only not
be rotating drum, and then the back side of the debris is towards the turbine.
You could do them. Yeah. So they're like
just have rotating panels, and they would
vertical Venetian blind style, and they
exactly. And I talked about is that something that's feasible? Cause, and you maybe do that on maybe three units. You only need three units, and then you guys are only responsible for the other ones. And that might allow you to limp through during
the
time.
That's the kind of...
Don't screw up my flow control idea.
Exactly. It's my master plan. How'd you know?
But you're trying to use the flow to do something.
Exactly.
Basically,
I'm trying to have them be self-cleaning.
Yeah.
Where you just go...
The flow control...
Basically, what you do is you turn the turns down for like an hour, let the fish get out.
Exactly.
Flip them, turn the unit back on. Self-clean.
You have to work both ways.
I know. It's outside the box.
Well, flow control itself could help reduce debris problems.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely. In and of itself could do the job.
Well, I mean, that's part of the thing. Is debris has become... Granted, we didn't have flows like this.
Yeah, in the 2000s.
Yeah, 2000 prior to...
No, we didn't. It's actually difficult to find... You know, a lot of data when we're running at that 17.5 to 18.5 K range through the units, you know, back then.
Yeah.
But this year and the last couple of years, we're regularly up there.
Yeah, 96, 97, the last
year. The other thing is, if you can carry reserves there and go back units off, that's another way to get at this problem that doesn't have a cost, is you carry the reserves on that extra piece that's sitting there, and just when you need it, you go there.
and the bulk of the time you're sitting in the middle range waiting for the emergency to happen.
That's okay. Yeah.
And that's something that makes it a little more palatable to the gang.
Not right now, where are you guys using your spin reserves?
John Day, the Dallas, and
I'm saying, but
sometimes Chief Chone.
Would they be allowed to use Bonneville?
Well, okay. We don't, because it's a limited power's capacity.
Exactly.
But if you're part of the reason that people don't want to go there in the energy world is that you've got to have something you're trading off. If your trade-off is you're spending,
no, I think that's something we should have that as a discussion part. Yeah. That's another one in the first meeting. Mm-hmm. That probably needs to have its own little chapter or its own little discussion. That if that's the case, that it makes it more palatable for you guys to go down that road. That in case of emergency, you just go ahead and ignore the
1%. And the bulk of the time, you're not seeing more reason than that way anyway.
I mean, if you guys want to say, we'll take spin reserve from the Dallas or whatever, transfer it to Bonneville, and we'll only use it during power emergencies. And you look at the number of power emergencies problems you have.
Well, it's not power emergencies. It's called
load.
A bond reserve.
I know.
Low cheap. With wind, it happens more often than it used to.
But it's still going to be maybe at worst a couple hours during load during certain times.
Sure.
I think that's something the Sanders we could probably tolerate.
That's an angle.
Yeah.
And if that gets us one on at Powerhouse 2 from a turbine
standpoint. That was the same thing I'm trying to angle from on playing with the mop, we operate units in the snake. You know, start using it for the multiple purposes and get more support for it.
Yeah.
Because right now with school league, 12 years
overall. Yeah, you're 10 years out.
No, we're screwed because we don't have any gear. We're running out of load. So we can't carry reserves like we used to at Cooley.
Yeah.
We're spilling a lot to gas abatement at Chief. We're running out of places to carry reserves, and the wind is asking for more.
I know. The wind is killing you.
So there's an opportunity here to push some of the issues together.
If that's something that floats, I think we can talk about that at FPAC next week, but if that gets to our issue and we say, we might have to buy a couple hours here and there in different times,
I've thought of that before, too. And
it's only in the super high low years when you're just trying to run flat out to control gas.
If that gets you guys closer to a head nod, absolutely, that's reasonable.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much of this, that flow control, once we get there, will help the debris issue. I mean, that maybe is.
Well, that's going to be
right there. So you just don't have as much debris going up into the slot. So
the question is, how much is the flow control, and how much is it the gap filler? Because a lot of that debris probably used to go over the screen and right back
out. It did, and that gap filler. It has an effect, probably.
I bet the gap filler is probably what's shunting most of the debris up.
I guess that's what I'd like to see a team look at.
Yeah.
You know, looking at the debris before and after, trying to get an idea of, I don't know if we can do that or not, but trying to get an idea of what a flow control device, getting us back to the kind of gate wall flows that we used to have.
Debris.
That's what we're
doing. Would that resolve the issue of having to pull screens? That's what we didn't have to pull screens in those days. Of course, it flows. I know that.
We
didn't have 2 years. We didn't pull any. Those were high flow years after a long time of low flow.
Sure.
Then there should have been a ton of debris.
I don't.
So that might be the answer right there, and we're okay. You know, just get that done, put some more pressure on getting that done. Or if we have to, if it's just. Get flow control, if it's still a problem, maybe they close your device.
Looking back at the gap loss data, I think we were at 11 to 12% pre-gap closure device, and gap closure device down to 1 or 2% loss. I think so. I might be remembering incorrect, but
was there losing to the gap?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was that high. That's a lot.
I mean, the fish that were going up,
right, we're being lost from FGE. I don't think FGE actually.
You know, there was some shifting around of the STS and how it sat in the slot too. You know, during that time period when all this stuff was being looked at, and I can't remember. I think it might have been the gap closure device and how they positioned the STS and the addition of the turning vane. You know, all probably
bit by the 10 minute issue.
What's that?
Are we going to get bit by the 10 minute issue?
What's that?
The 10-minute closure gap, the gate closure. The gates are on, head gates are on, they're hydraulic. Hey, you can close those within 10 minutes, can't you?
I think Bonneville's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's fine.
Bonneville's fine. It's basically just the snake. It's really, snake and McNary is where we're in duty land. John Day, I don't know. They never mentioned John Day, so.
There's a twin, though, of all this.
Yeah, but those are 20-foot screens. I think that's the thing. I think their gates are sitting.
I think it was extended screens where the problem came.
Yeah, it was, because it was only the project with extended screens or the problematic ones.
So let's go back to short screens.
At Granite and Goose? Okay. Well, Christ, I just pull damn things.
That too. I mean, because the other thing is with Lamprey, I mean, if we can pull Bonneville, then you'll have the Dallas. Everything can blow John Day down without screens. So you can start working your way up to kind of Lamprey free zones or protected zones.
Well, I don't like the screens in Bonneville. It'd be nice not to have them there, but.
I mean, don't worry about the investment made to date.
I know. No, I'm just thinking in terms of survival. But, you know, I mean, we're only passing.
Because, like I say,
our guidance efficiency is about 33% or so.
I know.
A third. Yeah. You know, and that's what it was back before in the 80s when we started
well,
all this.
Well, you know, the question would be, is, like, have them take the 11 and the 12 data and see what guidance was. We haven't got 12 yet, but take 11 prior to when the screens pulled out and see what guidance was.
Yeah, that's what you need to do. You need to mine some more of that data and tease out when the screens were pulled. Because my bet is it'd go up. I don't know by how much, but, you know, all the gap loss data and information they collected with fike nets prior to that, you know, they always, the figures I'm seeing, they're talking, you know, 50 to 70% guidance.
Yeah, but the problem with those fike nets was 40, they actually caused guidance.
Yeah.
They pushed fish up into the gate well. We found that out later that there were some problems with that. So
interesting.
That's
interesting to know.
Not a very
well. Yeah. It basically set back pressure, so it made it easier for fish to guide.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, there were some problems with that. So those aren't very good. I mean, the reality is, the best data we have are the new data that we're getting from the Coosie Tag fish, and they're not showing any redder than 3%.
No, they're not.
Or so, you know, day in, day out.
Well, 10 would be, what was 10? I mean, 10 wouldn't have any.
Chinook was 29%.
Yeah.
Steelhead was 25.7.
Yeah.
And then 2011. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then 2011 was 35.4% for Chinook and 38.3% for Steelhead.
Just around 30%, which is way back. That's what we were back at in the early 80s when we first put those things in and we're starting to fix them.
So that's a $2 million improvement that we made?
We have not really changed it much. The corner collector, I think, robbed
the lionfish. Do I want to remind you what I said about all that?
You weren't looking ahead at the corner collector at the time.
No.
Neither was I.
I said the FG. I said it's crazy that we're putting this money in these FG improvements.
Yeah. Oh, the FG improvements. Yeah. I thought you meant the screens themselves.
Oh, God.
Was that when we had the buy-off objective of...
I know.
You guys are nuts.
80%?
Fish passage efficiency. And
80?
It was
80.
Yep. It was 80% FG.
But we're pretty close with steelhead.
As you count the corner collector.
Yeah.
What else have we got on VBS? Because I'm getting hungry.
I think we're there. I think what we, you know, it's just a matter of, is there alternatives that can be done, or do we just wait and see what we get with the other study?
Once I get the 12 data, I'm going to want to take a look at this and try to sort of guesstimate what the hell we're going to do.
So thanks for putting this together, Ben. I think really what I was looking for was trying to get a little bit out of the box of just brute force from the project, and more in terms of, is there something we can do that would mechanically, two cranes, you know, I guess that's brute force, but if there's a better crane system or a better support system that would allow us to pull these things regardless of what the wind's doing, you know, those sort of things. If there's any way to get to that, then that would be one of the things to put out there as an alternative.
I don't see it changing unless we can, like Scott's saying, clean them in the slot.
I can see us going through an alternative study and coming back to, well, if the flow control device fixes the problem, then we're all done. And that's where we'll end up with. That's
alternative. The thought is, have you guys ever talked about, like, just like cracking the bottom of the VBS and having some sort of way to, maybe something you put in the slide that scrapes it down and then goes out the bottom of the VBS. Like you pull the VBS,
sort of an automated cleaner system then, really.
It makes it cheesy, but...
You're looking at a place to let stuff go through.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is you pull the VBS up
2 feet, and then
2 feet, 4 feet, whatever it is, and then you have some sort of mechanism that cleans
like
it down.
Like an automated pull of VBS?
I think maybe that was part of that.
So a hoist on every single feet, though?
No, I'm saying you still have to use the crane, but you could use a tie crane because you're not pulling the VBS out of the unit. You're just pulling it up 4 feet or whatever it is, and then you have something that attaches to it that would then
I would be willing to bet that the project would rather pull it all the way up without taking it out of the guide and just hose it. Rather than, you know, do the O&M on all that mechanical stuff that needs to get down to elevation 31.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem is anytime you put something that has to go down slots and be pressure against the screen and actually do something, that's just problematic. It's never worked well.
I guess the reason I asked them, just trying to catch, what the hell are we doing here? There's two different issues. One was the idea of getting a group together to do this kind of brainstorming, and I thought the Corps could do that with a, you know, do an actual project program together.
Yeah.
So maybe that's still something that's a recommendation that we do that, but that wasn't the reason to get this group together. The reason to get this group together was to fit out these reinstallation criteria. That's what that's what this group should actually can and should do.
Sure.
And so you've got the once 300 and then the 4 foot clarity. I mean, is there a better way to do that? Guys, anybody can think of a better way?
And honestly, I would almost make that like an and or. Like, I think if you go below like 4 foot clarity at that point, that's telling you debris is dropping, and then maybe you're less sensitive about the flow. I don't know.
Because I mean, what does that?
Do we have any turbidity or whatever?
We have data, daily data. Yeah. So we could look at what that's done over the last couple of years. If had we done that this last year, yeah. What date would we have put those screens back in at?
Last year.
This last year.
July.
Last year. Well, that's what it was.
But it might show.
But it would compare to what would have happened with what we did and how successful it was.
Right.
That's actually, that would be.
Let's just look at that and see if this changes what we've, you know. Or do we
use a Secchi disk, or what do you guys do?
Yeah.
They're classic Secchi disk. You guys haven't gone laser yet?
Yeah,
the laser, no, like the old school.
You know, your rope on that Secchi disk is too short.
It's too short. Oh, you know what? This is the perfect, actually. The rope is getting old. The original rope is long enough, plenty.
Yeah, that's great.
So they cut it with the high said, flows. Can you go replace that? They made it too short. And then we said, can you replace it with one that's long enough? Right. And then they dropped it in the river. So it's gone all together.
No! Yes. Yeah. Oh,
the Secchi disk is gone?
Yeah.
Oh, as of Monday. Tear to my eye.
How long did that Secchi disk has been there forever?
There are so many arguments over that.
Get the ROV back out.
Caleb.
Well, let's get it out of the river. Email. Who's going
in? I
think
I'll post that on Facebook. Where's my Secchi disk?
I don't even know. I'll buy it on the ground.
Oh, no.
Get the ROV out.
Maybe it'll end up on the FB11 track rack.
Yeah.
Riggers can rake it out.
Yeah.
Either that or it goes into the unit O or whatever.
Oh, I'm sure it's way
exactly.
I know, Gary. I like your original. Switching topics. I like your original idea of putting a fish-friendly turbine unit in 11 and taking the screens off.
I do, too.
I was going to ask Gordy if PUD wants to drop one in.
Yeah.
They would love to.
I'm not talking about changing anything that would affect BPA's power production. In fact, I'd like to.
The problem we have is to tell them that is that we aren't using the fish-friendly units in the first powerhouse fully right now. That's it, outside the one.
Those aren't very fish-friendly. We got a lot better design coming from my.
And these would be, this would be first priority, be first on all the time. And with no screen, you would have more flow going through it.
I'm talking about, well, even more, if we can actually make this like a 25 or 20K unit instead of, you know, a much higher flow.
Like McMod would have been?
Yes.
Well, this would be McMod Plus, because McMod was only.
Even the new McNary.
No, but there's great design that they came on the McMod that didn't quite make it all the way through because of the concern over the screens and the 1%. And the
well, that's why
stuff that really isn't something we really.
Well, it's because that was back when. That's why they tried the traveling VBS. That's when it was like, my monstrosity of a Frankenstein creature.
Yeah, that would be a project nightmare. I know that.
Yeah.
No, I'm trying to get away from our project nightmares. And so if the sweetener is getting those screens out of there, which I think it is, and having. Unit one that actually operates instead of just having a skeleton bay, unit 11, and having a fish-friendly unit in there because we know a lot of fish go through that unit when we run it.
Well,
and we know it helps the corn flow.
I know.
If we get the full operating range of the first power out to open geometry, you'll get people to believe that when you do that, you can do that. Right now they say, look, the first power out, we replaced it, and you're still stuck with the old mindset.
Well, no, we're stuck with it because that's not our highest priority because it has adult fallback and other issues.
But that's because of flow, but it's not the turbine for juveniles. And that's what we're selling this other one is for juvenile turbine passage. And so until you can prove to the guys that are going to fork the money out that you can carry all the way through to making the change, they're going to go, yeah, right, heard that, forget it.
Now, you know, I can put into a buyout. We all become, and I think we're getting more comfortable with open geometry and what that means. So,
let's get a table first, or something.
And I think I'm going to write that right in the next buyout.
All I'm asking for is
to fight that one. I wrote it. And you know, that I can do. The fish-friendly Uber unit. That one, I don't think I can, you know, prescribe that. But
what's happening is Bonneville and McNary are small. And Bonneville and McNary are the two places.
We can get past.
Steve Wright was mentioning it a week and a half ago that we need to get these places bigger.
Well, okay, here we go. Okay,
but here's what I'm saying.
I can give you an extra whatever the heck it is, 15 to 30 K at Powerhouse One. I won't go any higher than that.
But
I will never go higher than that because you're in the pressure issues on the runners.
And we don't want to do it either because you're running through the runner. And so there, it's mutually beneficial.
There, and I can resolve that issue with you guys. What I want you to do is push larger units of Powerhouse Two, which I think at least one.
Yeah.
And you guys, you know, the skill guys have been, wait a minute, and what like are you I'm doing, saying, taking away 10K
for
skill?
For me internally, that's something voluntary. That I think you can sell, but you got to be able to prove that you can make the change away. 1% has to kind of fall to the wayside as far as the, everything has to be within that.
Yeah, Gary.
It has, but it hasn't in.
It hasn't under, well, because it's been rollover.
The problem is we don't trust you guys, because you say, okay, we'll give 1% at Powerhouse One. We see you guys going, well, if it's good enough at Paris One, why don't we do it at John Day? Why don't we do
John
it at
Day, John Day doesn't have 1% right now.
I know. You guys just going to have 1%.
Well, 1% won't be mentioned in the next buyout. Not going to be there.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm taking it out.
That's great.
Sweet.
Not going to be there.
That's going to make things so good.
Drive you guys nuts.
Right. But in some ways, it'll help. I mean, we want to move to these bigger powerhouses. You got to get away from that range as being the be-all, end-all.
Yeah, this TSP and what we learned through TSP, that's what's going to be the driving force
for the newer information to get away from. Yeah.
1% was just a.
Which you'll never be able to validate?
Awesome. As much as 1%. 1% is just a swag anyway.
Well, it's all swag. Music.
And we have more data now, though, to support geometry than we did for 1%.
What are the mid seas doing?
They get the full range. Yeah, they get a lot bigger range.
Same kind of turbines?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some of the bulbs that...
Yeah.
Except
for
Wells. Go see what they wrote up for their FERC licenses. See what they said about it.
Let us do whatever we want. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Well, no. I mean, they may have had some justification.
Oh. For what? What are you thinking?
No, you were just talking about writing up justification. If the PUDs are already doing it,
because we can.
Yeah,
I think you'll be mortally unimpressed with their justification.
Oh God!
Okay. Sorry,
they're meeting their performance standards, and how they get there. It's either that doesn't matter if you operate your turbines that way. It's how many fish you get back.
I mean, right now the bio says operate for best survival.
Yeah.
Currently, that's within the 1% range. As you learn more, implement. That's what it says. Yeah, and I think maybe
just
we need
to demonstrate that in your
right. Right. Yeah, and if we have to get, you know, it depends on what the bar of proof is that is out there. But and we're going to prescribe spill as necessary, you know, and probably about the same as we have today. And that's going to be the operation that's prescribed. But it's going to be for best survival, and it's not going to be looking at taking away from involuntary. That's not going to be part of it. That's what happens, but that's not going to be part of it.
That's the problem.
But it can be. That's the
you're going to take it away from involuntary. Which
that's what makes it pay for itself.
Oh, you have to decide what the baseline is, environmental baseline. But then there's an action. What's the action going to be? So, and is that enough?
Okay. I'm going to get back in.
Yeah, that's
North you guys. Go.
I don't think they probably anticipated that this is going to come back and bite them the way it did.
Aren't they crazy?
Don't let BPA know. Yeah. I know. Hand it out to everybody, but not those guys.
I was just surprised they didn't.
Where did they get the extra water?
They took it from the river.